Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But the Son of Righteous shall arise with healing in his wings. Christ the Son, verse 1 says that the day of judgment and tribulation is coming. When Jesus finally appears on this earth, he's going to touch down the Mount of Olives. I understand that. But it says when he comes, every eye will see him. We're in relative darkness now. The Word of God isn't preached. His kingdom is not here on earth physically. But one day when he comes, boom, he's going to come. And he'll rule the nations with a rod of iron, etc. But his glorious appearing, that's what this verse 2 talks about. Unto you that fear my name, if you fear his name, if you follow the Lord, if you like this woman with the issue of blood, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. If you read, for instance, in Isaiah, it says that the lion will lay down with the kid. Normally it's misquoted, lion lay down with the lamb. The child will play in the hole of the asp, the snake. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. A great day. Healing will be available to any and everyone when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. I've heard it preached that way, but in digging, and I believe that. Trust me, I believe that. The theology here, the end times, the eschatology is correct. But this word, Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. The word in Hebrew, wings, can also be translated fringes. The prayer shawl that obviously every one of us have seen, maybe didn't recognize, but if you've seen pictures of people in perhaps at the Wailing Wall in Israel, they wear these prayer shawls. They call them tallit or something like this. And if you study the tallit, there's a lot of symbolism there. It says, and I'm giving it away, but the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his fringes. You can read in perhaps Leviticus or something, it talks about the different knots, the ribbon of blue, etc. The little ribbon of blue, speaking of heaven. White is the righteousness of God, etc. There's a lot of symbolism there. But this woman, again, it's the same word, fringes. She said, if I can just touch the fringes of his garment, the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So, jumping back to chapter 5 of Mark, she does that. She reaches out, and in verse 30, Jesus immediately knowing himself in himself that virtue had gone out of him, the power of God had left him, turned about in the press, Christ did, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" I believe that virtue did go out of him, but I believe that she touched him physically, yes, but she touched him before she even got there with faith in her heart. We know the story. She was afraid and etc. and confessed, and "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague," etc. Now they were on the way to Jairus' house, and this interruption happened. It wasn't an interruption, trust me. Yes, he stopped and he had to say, "Well, who touched me?" etc. But in the reading of this chapter in Mark, it's continuous. It's one long story. And the theme remains the same. But again, they're on the way to Jairus' daughter. But in verse 35, and apparently he took a bit long or something, "While they yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, 'Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Well, we prayed and you came and that's fine, but she's dead. I don't know what to do now. I know you were going somewhere else. You were doing something else. Jesus, just, go back and do it because she's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said under the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. In John chapter 11, I think it was, when Lazarus was dead, he got word that he had been sick for a while, but then he died. Jesus, it says in that chapter, abode in the same place a little while longer. When Jesus got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and it says that, well, it's too late. He's starting to, smell and etc. But that didn't trouble Jesus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Roll away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. He's the healer. He's life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Lazarus being raised from the dead is a obvious type, foreshadowing of the resurrection, the rapture, etc. The fact that the stone was rolled away and then Lazarus came walking out is in picture, again in type, a type of the resurrection of Christ. The stone was rolled away and he didn't walk out when they saw him, but he had already walked out. They went in and found the body of the Lord. Hey, it's not there. It's funny. We get the same stories again and again and again. The same simple stories told again and again and again. Everywhere you look in the Word of God, you find the simple truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, it's told again and again and again. 66 books, 1,100 and something chapters, a lot of words. It's a tough read. But everywhere you look, you get the same message. It tells you about Jesus Christ. But to finish off the story of Jairus' daughter, he said to the ruler, be not afraid, only believe. And to make it short, when he was come in verse 39, why make ye this ado and weep? What's all this commotion? Why are you crying? The damsel's not dead. She's only asleep. And of course, they laughed him to scorn. Everybody knew she was dead. They would make, perhaps, I don't know exactly how they did things. They prepared the spices. They were going to get ready to wrap her body or something. They were preparing for the funeral. All of these people out front, and them that wept and wailed greatly, it said. The tumult in verse 38. These were paid, hired mourners. That's one of the things they did. It's kind of strange, but they paid people to go to the funeral to make a big fuss. He said, look, get out of the way. I got business to do. And they laughed him to scorn, verse 40. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which being interpreted says, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. And they were astonished with great astonishment. A great miracle, Jesus raising the dead. But going back to our text in 2 Kings chapter 4, we find the same idea, essentially the same miracle that Jesus performed, the same two miracles actually, because the woman, her son, was dead. And in verse 23 we read, the husband asked, what's going on? Why are you going to go today? Etc. And she said, it shall be well. Lord, if you only touch my daughter, lay your hands upon her, I know she'll be healed. It shall be well. It shall be well. If I may but just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be made whole. And in the Old Testament here, it shall be well. We need to trust in the Lord and depend upon him. Nowadays, he's the last thing we ever think about. I forget, one of our preachers, retold the story. It's not a new story, but someone was in the hospital and the doctors had said, well, that's it and whatever. And somebody said, well, you know, I guess all we can do is pray. And the woman that was in the bed said, has it really come to that? It's kind of silly. I think the first thing we ought to do is pray. Kid breaks a leg. Hey, jump in the car. Let's go to the doctor. But look, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's go to the doctor. Let's get the leg set. I understand that, but let's pray. Let's pray. I can tell you of when I was down in Haiti. I almost died twice. Actually, three times I came near death, to be honest with you. On one trip, I ended up, if you've seen pictures of the babies with the stomachs pooched out, well, it's because they have parasites. They ate something and it started eating back. I had that. I laid on my bed in the hotel for 2 days. I didn't sleep a wink. My stomach hurts so bad, and when you have a stomach ache, you want to lay on a pillow. I did that for 2 or 3 hours at a time until I couldn't stand the pain in my stomach, and I flipped over on my back. And, you know, my chest compressed, and I was, you know, I was able to breathe a little bit, but as soon as I was able to breathe on my back, my stomach hurt even like 10 times worse. For 2 days, didn't eat a thing, couldn't go to the bathroom, couldn't throw up, couldn't do nothing. I was suffering. I honestly thought I was going to die. Someone said, oh, you know what? In the little medicine cabinet here, we have one little Cipro tablet. Well, that was the silver bullet, and that took care of it. I took that, and 3 hours later, they called me down for supper, and I was able to eat. Matter of fact, I ate too much, and I got my hand slapped because I took too much chicken. So I know what it's like to suffer. I know what it's like. I could tell other stories where it wasn't a physical healing, or rather a physical solution. I could tell other stories where there was no medicine, there was no doctor, but the Lord just healed me. But trust me, I thank God for that one pill, because if it hadn't shown up, I didn't know any doctors. I had no money. I had $50 in my pocket. I was in a strange country. Well, I probably would have, well, I could have died. But these three, Jairus, the woman with the issue of blood, and this woman here that lent a room to the prophet Elisha, they all said, it shall be well. I trust the Lord. I believe the Lord. And they acted in great faith. They acted in great faith. Occasionally the faith wavered a little, as in Jairus' case and this woman's case, it wavered a little. But in this story, there's a lot of symbolism, there's a lot of type and shadow, and I'll try to run through it as quickly as I can, I suppose. But she went to the man of God, and that was Elisha at the time, and he had a servant named Gehazi. The name is important. We find later that Gehazi teaches a great lesson, not the one that he necessarily wanted to teach, but nevertheless a great lesson. But the prophet figures out there's something wrong with that kid back at that other town. Gehazi, look, take my staff and run with that woman, get in the chariot, go back over there, and take my staff and go into that kid that's dead on the bed and lay my staff on the face of that child. And he'll come back to life. The story is, Gehazi went, verse 31, but there was neither voice nor hearing. The kid didn't stir. The prophet said, lay the staff, Gehazi did, upon the face of the child, or the whole length probably of the kid, but made it touch the face. But no response. And finally, the prophet was a little slower, and he finally, hours, two later, however long it was, that he got there. And he says, is the kid okay? And he said, no. Oh, man. Well, look, let me go in there. And this little room, it was the prophet's room. If you read, starting at verse 8, this story starts, I guess. The prophet had come through that little town every couple of weeks or whatever it was. And this great woman, I don't think that she was fat. I think that she was a great woman in the Word of God. She served the Lord, and she had somewhat of a ministry, maybe of exhorting or something. She was a great woman. And she fed him every time he came through. And finally, they said, look, let's clear out some of that stuff in that back room, and let's put him a bed and a table and chair and all that stuff. Well, the kid died, and she took the kid and laid it in the prophet's room, put him on the bed. Now, this is where the symbolism starts. You have a bed. I said earlier that every morning the sun comes up. That's a symbol of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the sun goes down, that's a symbol of death. When you lay down at night to go to bed, it's a symbol of death. But when you wake in the morning, it's a symbol of, hey, we're going to wake in the new morning. We're going to go to heaven one day. But this kid was laid on the prophet's bed, dead. This staff had been laid on the child before the prophet got there, and it had no effect. Now, in today's world, we don't know anything about staff or stick or nothing. Maybe people that hike will have a kind of a walking stick, but that's about as far as it goes. Nobody uses sticks anymore. But that staff, many staves, many staves were used in the Old Testament times, even in the times of Jesus. All the shepherd boys had a staff. David had a staff. Moses had a staff. And with that staff in his hand, he said, let my people go. But the prophet said to the servant, lay that staff on that kid's face. But nothing happened. But the prophet went in, and it says in verse 33, and this is where it begins to sound like Jairus' daughter. Verse 32, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain. Again, this is like Jesus saying, look, y'all shut up and get out of here. We're going to go pray. And only the mother and father and Peter and James and John went into the room. And he went up and lay upon the child, notice this, and put his mouth to his mouth and his eyes to his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And it says he went out and he walked back and forth and prayed a little bit, then he went back in and did the same thing. In other words, he twice went in the room, him and the kid alone. The kid was on the bed, which is a symbol of death. And he lays down and he puts his arms out like this and, you know, and mouth to mouth and et cetera. I don't think he did any kind of resuscitation thing. I don't think that he knew CPR at all. But in symbol, he laid upon that kid twice. The bed is death. The kid is dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross, hands and feet and had the crown of thorns. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was crucified. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he died. The daily sacrifice happened at 9 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the evening. The fact that the prophet Elisha went twice and laid upon that child symbolizes the morning and the daily sacrifice. We know that Christ, innocent, holy, blameless, never committed a sin in his life, was nailed to the cross on my behalf and on your behalf. It says he knew no sin, but he was the sin offering. He was offered in our place. This prophet, the kid's dead, he lays upon the child twice, but it says that the child sneezed seven times and then sat up and says, "Mama," or whatever. The kid was raised from the dead. But this thing that the prophet did, laying upon that dead child twice, symbolized our Lord being nailed to the cross. Thank God. I said probably half an hour ago that you hear the same story again and again and again. The same stories told again and again and again. The gospel is simple, and if you don't catch it in Mark, you may catch it in 2 Chronicles. Simple story told again and again and again. And doesn't say it, but I guess you can say they lived happily ever after. The little kid lived and mom and dad were happy and the whole town, I'm sure, rejoiced. The woman with the issue of blood, she went away healed. Jairus had his kid back, his daughter. And one day, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for all the things that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus died for us. Thank you, Lord, that our sins can be washed away if we put our trust in him. If we, as Malachi said, to them that fear the Lord, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. If you're listening today, I would encourage you to surrender your life and heart to the Lord. And do like this woman said here, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. No.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.